On this episode of History Worth Saving, we're talking to a man who knows his apples. Lots and lots of apples. In fact, apples that have been lost for years in this country. See, food has become something else. It's no longer just food. Today, food has become a big business. And in business, you're always looking for ways to, well, save money, make it more profitable. And sometimes when you're talking about food, varieties that are not as profitable, perhaps not as successful, they go by the wayside. These lost apples of America have become somewhat of an obsession for a man by the name of Tom Brown. And he joins us now. Mr. Brown, thanks for being here to tell us about apples. I think it's great. It's history worth saving.
You're welcome, man.
Well, I find it fascinating that you have devoted such a large part of your life to rediscovering these lost American apples. I say they're lost. They're not really lost. They've been cared for. Some of them grow wild. But how do you go about collecting these apples? Because it has become a passion of yours, and I don't know anyone that is more versed in this than you.
Well, you mentioned lost. What I mean by that is there are apple varieties that were known to people years ago, but people in the old apple trade now do not know a location of an existing tree. To my knowledge, and then trying to find these and then get them back in circulation so they won't become extinct, because frequently I would maybe only find one tree of these.
So how did this get started? You're sitting there with your wife at some point and you said, you know what, I'd really like to have a blank apple. I'm going to go find this apple. Walk me through this, because I don't imagine this just started overnight. It's probably something that's been nagging at you for some time. How did you get started in this?
Well, what happened was my wife and I love farmers markets. For instance, when we visited Alaska, we made sure we were in Fairbanks, Alaska on the right day when they had the farmers market, and the same with being at in New Mexico and Las Cruces on the day that they had the farmer's market. And so we would frequently go to the farmer's market, which is on Saturday in our hometown of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And at that time, years ago, there was a gentleman there that sold apples, heritage apples, and he actually, well, he sold trees in the fall, but in the late summer and the early fall, he would be there selling his apples. And I was just fascinated by all the names and taste and textures that were so different from the grocery store apples. And I eventually found out that he had discovered a few of these varieties himself. And I asked if there were any lost varieties in my community of Clemens, North Carolina. And he mentioned one called a Harper seedling. And so I started informally looking for it and was having no success. And I approached a local newspaper and asked if they would do an article about my looking for that apple. And they did. And I received maybe 14 responses. Back then, there wasn't all the social media and cable TV, and so people were better at responding to newspaper things then. And I eventually found six locations where Harper seedling trees in my area had been, but I didn't find it. And so it was also sold by a nursery in an adjoining county to the west, Yadkin County, and I approached a Yadkin Ripple newspaper, and they ran an article, and I think I only received two responses, and I still didn't find it. And by then, I had, you know, sort of gotten down the technique of how to approach newspapers. And my original hometown was Statesville, North Carolina, And so I approached the local newspaper there to see if they would do an article about my looking for old apple varieties, although that particular Harper seedling wasn't mentioned there. And I got quite a few responses, and I did find at least four rare apples, a yellow pots apple and a red pots apple and a mosey apple and a Watts limber twig. And
how do you know it's that variety of apple? Are there, I'm guessing there are books on this that have scientific drawings of these old heritage apples that you can cross-reference, or how do you go about that part of it?
I have about a 3-foot high stack of reference texts, but for those right there, it was just community knowledge. They weren't, multiple people knew about them and identified them if you could get in the very right community. Although, like the yellow pots and red pots, I think I only found two trees of each, and one tree of the mosey and one tree of the Watts limber twig. But I later found a very old nursery reference that mentioned the Watts limber twig.
But yet the Harper seedling continued to evade you at this point. I mean, this thing's really starting to become more difficult than what you probably thought when you first set out on this.
Well, okay. Let's move on, and then I'll answer that. Statesville is in Iredell County, North Carolina, and west of that is Alexander County. And so I found quite a few old varieties in there. And a lot of people connected with them that said, well, you ought to go to Wilkes County. It's a good-sized county that's north of those two. And just two counties over from me, going to the northwest from my Forsyth County. And they said there's a whole lot of apples there, but they were really talking about something different because they grew apples there commercially in the area called the Brushy Mountains. But what they didn't realize was that Wilkes County was the mother load of old apples if you got a little away from where they grew them commercially. And so I eventually found like 300 varieties that associated with that one county. I mean,
wow.
It was totally incredible.
And for just starting out in this, I'm guessing when you just start out in this and you discover, literally, as you said it, the mother load, 300 varieties of apple in one county, is there a moment where you start to think maybe I've bitten off more than I can chew, so to speak?
Oh, no. It was incredibly fun to do that. I mean, and one thing that really aided me was back then I wasn't involved in animal rescue, so we didn't have any pets. And I didn't really have much of an orchard or nursery. And so I could go to most of Wilkes County was only an hour away from, let's say half of Wilkes County was just an hour away from my home. So I was retired and I was free to go up there three times a week to look for old apples. And I approached the local newspaper up there and they did several articles that were helpful to get me in touch with people up there. One of the apples that I found real early on up there was called a striped June apple, or that's what the owner called it. But I always slightly wonder, well, usually here most of the word June apple means it's an early apple. And so up there, but it was a little bit strange that this particular June apple got ripe in August. And then years later, it dawned on me that, you know, this fits the description of the Harper seedling. And I took it to one of the local people here that knew about the Harper seedling. They said, yes, that's it.
And it had been in your care for some time at that point, and you didn't even realize that you'd found it.
Yes, what a great story. That's right. And it's, I love to do the detective work. In other words, I'm 79 now, and it's you know, incredible fun. In other words, like if I'm going to West Virginia or something like that, I'll get up at like 2 a.m. and get on the road at about 3:30, and you know, it's what I call a 3 no-dose pill day, but I'm just happy as a lark getting to go up there and look for
apples. Well, I got to ask you, what did you do before you got into this? I mean, professionally, were you involved in agriculture, or were you connected to it somehow?
Well, I grew up on a, you know, a small, in a rural area. We had about 5 acres, and we had apple trees and a big garden, but it wasn't a real farm. But it was, you know, I always loved apples.
And then, but professionally, you weren't involved in this. You were doing something else, guess, before.
No, yes, I was an engineer.
I see. But that engineering mindset, I guess, comes in handy because it's analytical. It's sort of proven in science with engineering and with apples. You're always looking for that slight difference. Do you like apples? Is that something that you enjoy eating, or is this just a fascination with something that you've discovered that maybe has led to an appreciation of?
But they, years ago, they had used apples for so many other things than fresh eating. They would, you know, they would dry them or make vinegar out of them. Or one big use in real early America was to make hard cider out
right.
of them.
And moonshine
for animal feed, and
right.
and you know, there's a whole big variety of uses other than just eat fresh apples.
Yeah, great to eat and drink, and, so to speak. So
yeah. And but it's you know, it's sort of like if I'm not finding an apple, it's sort of like I'm telling myself, well, you're not hunting hard enough. And so one thing that helps me find these is I go to about 14 festivals a year where I have an old apple display, and people will come by and talk to me about apples and tell me people I ought to go see. And, you know, like Cousin Joe has a whole lot of apple trees. You might want to talk to him. But then you got to do the follow-up.
Sure. And, you got to keep tracking those leads down and find out where they go. Do you have a favorite right now? Is there one that you really enjoy eating, or that you really enjoy drinking, I guess, would be another way to ask it?
One that my wife and I like is called a pumpkin sweet. There's more than one apple by that name, but the one that we're talking about, it was in two counties near me, and it's a medium to large apple and totally covered with a russet, like rust. And it's sweet and ripe in August, and it's a little bit elongated and pointed, but it's really delicious when it's ripe.
And you now have, I'm guessing, a way to preserve these seedling trees and everything else that that you discover, because you do offer a few of these varieties on your website there for sale, where people can pick up a seedling and take it home and try their own luck with it.
Yes, and I have shared these with other people that sell trees, you know, with at least 4 or 5 different people that sell trees, and, you know, giving them cuttings for free, and also donated to preservation orchards, and then I sell trees. I would eventually like to get, you know, 5 trees of each type out there in some known location.
Well, sure, just to keep them around. And I think it begs it, you know, it begs the question, how close are we to losing a lot of these known varieties of heritage apples here in the U.S.?
Oh, very, very, very close, because, for instance, I couldn't start today and do what I did, because there's so many trees been cut down, and so many elderly people that passed away that knew the names that could help identify them. And actually, when I started and was visiting all these elderly people in Wilkes County, I was sort of like at the tail end of this knowledge. And one reason there was so many old varieties up there in Wilkes County, I've heard numerous elderly people say that their dad or grandfather took pride in having apples different from their neighbors. So you would go to one house up there and they'd have three apple trees that all be different and all rare. And then maybe six houses down the road, that person would have four apple trees and they'd all be rare, all different, but different from that other house with the three trees. So I was so fortunate in finding trees up there that I was disappointed if I didn't find something every time. But
well, and that they knew about it. They knew what it was, which I think is so incredible. Where is the hot spot for apples in the U.S.? Is there a place that just sticks out above all others?
Well, I don't have the exact data on it, but it sounds like it's Washington State.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what I would think.
Modern cultivation.
But that's modern cultivation. Now, when you're talking about old heritage apples, I mean, the South obviously was entrenched in agriculture early on. And I would think that Wilkes County and a few of these spots that you found, you mentioned West Virginia even. I don't think apples when I think of West Virginia, but I do think of moonshine.
They were all around, but
right.
The ones I've mainly looked for up in West Virginia, it's almost like searching for ghosts. Like
right,
the upside down apples, one I've looked for at five locations, and the trees are always gone. I spent a whole lot of trips up there and come back empty, but I haven't given up.
The upside down apple. All right, Gary, I got to hear about this one. Is it grow upside down, or why do they call it that?
I am not positive. I've never heard the proper enough description to fully explain it to me.
But it's up there.
I wish I could.
Somewhere.
I wish I could tell you that.
All right. So if you have an apple that is odd and growing upside down, you're listening to this in West Virginia, give Mr. Brown a ring, because he wants to come see this. How many apples are you caring for right now? I guess I just envision a greenhouse or something like that there on your property. But how many varieties are you caring for?
I maybe have 800 on the property.
Wow.
Some of them are still in containers, but I'm doing my best to keep them alive.
And how many have you discovered now at this point?
Well, a little over 1,000.
No kidding.
But they're not all rare lost varieties. I mean, that's like total varieties. When I say rare or lost, I'm using that terminology because, you know, from what I know and the general available literature, they're lost, but that's not saying that, you know, some little community somewhere else, you know, it's 10 people knows about the particular apple, you know.
And these are not commercially grown apples. They're not apples that were marketed, that were successful. Are they susceptible to other predators or ailments that I guess a commercial apple is not necessarily susceptible to?
No. I mean, they maybe don't look quite so good out on the old trees, but if they were, you know, on young, vigorous trees and given modern nursery attention, orchard attention, commercial orchard attention, they would look great. So it's just, you know, they're out there, and but there's so many of them getting gone because one day I was up there near Wilkes County, and I thought, you know, for old time's sake, I would ride around and look at some of the trees that I'd enjoyed looking at, you know, 12 years earlier, and I visited the sites of 5 trees, and 4 of them were gone.
Oh.
And well, when they're around the house, it doesn't take much for somebody wanting to cut them down.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you understand that. And what is the lifespan of an apple tree these days?
There's a few I've read about that would live over 100 years, but most of them don't. They get hollow on the inside and blow over, and, you know, if they're in a home setting, if a tree gets a little bit decrepit or it changed ownership, that people frequently cut them down.
Well, I don't know what they have either. I mean, that's the sad part of
all
of this.
Well, yes, there was one place up there in Wilkes County, and there was this old house, and somebody bought the property and tore the old house down and built a nice, you know, pretty new rancher house, and out to the side, you know, not in the way or anything, was this nice apple tree that had yellow queen apples on it, and they cut it down. It was absolutely not in the way, and, you know, but it was, oh, goodness.
Yeah, and of course, you pull up and have to tell them, look, this is a... Don't go cutting that stuff down. It's one of the last of around.
And there was one up in the edge of Virginia at this old orchard. Maybe there'd been a home there at some time, but I never saw evidence of it. And there was this one tree that had a rusty coat and a summer rambo grafted. I guess the rusty coat was the rootstock, and the summer rambo was way in the top, and then it had the other apple was the vanilla pippin, but the tree was healthy. And then I could go back up there another year, and somebody has bought the place and put in new fencing and super cleaned it up, and the old tree had to go. I guess it was gone. You know, oh gosh.
Yeah, you hate to think about that. And they don't even know what they have. That's the sad part.
And there was another case where there was this elderly lady, and she had a tree called a night dropper. I finally identified it. And she passed away, and the tree wasn't that big a tree, and it had, you know, delicious apples on it. And you know, like 3 years later, the person that, you know, moved into the house, cut the tree down because a few of the apples rolled down the hill into the driveway. Oh, my goodness.
And is this something that people can take part in? I mean, I'm guessing that these apples grow better in certain areas than they do. But the varieties that you have, if someone wanted to get one and plant it at their house, I mean, this is something that you'd encourage at this point.
Yeah, I'll say... They maybe need to check with their local agricultural extension agent. Some people contact me from all over, but there's some areas that is, you know, it's not ideal for growing apples. It's too hot and too humid, and, you know, you can get apples, but they require a lot extra care, and there's more disease problems, and, you know, they ought to think about that. You know, if the areas, well, like in the North Carolina mountains, I know some trees up on top of a 5,000-foot mountain, and I guess there's like 12 trees up there, and most of them are all different. Each of the trees are a different variety, and, you know, it's a lot cooler there, and they get, you know, wind that dries the wet morning leaves off. And there's two of the trees that have a slight scab problem that could benefit from spraying, but all the other trees have like perfect looking apples on them with no spraying. It's just they're in a soil in a mountain location that's real favorable for growing apples.
And away they grow. So without help. Yeah. I mean, I think that's great. What kind of apple grows? I'm in Georgia. What kind of apple grows well in the mid areas of Georgia there around Atlanta and that part? I guess Northwest Georgia. What kind of apple would be suited out there on our place?
Well, probably a fairly good range if you were not much farther south than Atlanta. But I mean, if you get closer to the coast, it probably would be a little more challenging. But
well, I'll have to call you up, and we'll find a rare apple to plant out there at our farm and see if we have any luck.
I haven't looked that much in Georgia. I spent a bunch of time in Rabun County. That's the main county.
Sure.
That I've searched in Georgia. I was looking for an apple called a Forts Prize, like F-O-R-T apostrophe S Prize, and it was in that county.
Well, we want to find the upside down apple. I mean, that's intriguing now. I mean,
I have a tree here. Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
the upside down apple. Yeah, you got to go find it.
Okay.
We got to help you find that one.
I also called it the upside down apple.
The upside down apple.
It was actually over a pretty good area up there because they mentioned it.
Wow. Well, I just think it's exciting. I think it's a great story, and I wish you the best of luck. When you're finished, what do you want folks to remember about Tom Brown, the great apple hunter? And I'm guessing that you're probably the guy who's doing this the most in the U.S. I've never heard of anyone out searching for more apples than you are.
There are probably other people. I know there are other people, but I don't know that they devoted so many hours because it's not like a real money-making thing where if you spend... Right. Well, like I have two Subarus, and they both have almost 400,000 miles on them. And one of them is the doggy wagon now, but
the other's the apple cart.
So you need like a tremendous amount of time and
sure,
and you know, not worrying about the expense. You know, it's just that it's important to find these old varieties.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. I think it's just miraculous work that you've been able to save and categorize over 1,000 varieties of rare and in some cases lost apples here in the United States. I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful gift that you've given to this nation. And Mr. Brown, it's truly history worth saving. I appreciate you coming on and sharing with me. Tell everybody your website so they can go find you and find your apples there.
It's applesearch.org, applesearch.org.
And be patient if you email him. It's a one-man operation, and there are dogs that need his attention. There's a wife that needs his attention, and all of these apples. So email him and be patient if you want to learn more about Mr. Brown's apples. Thanks for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it. Time's flown by.
Well, thank you so much for having me and talking to me. I've enjoyed it.
Absolutely. We'll quick link that website into the show story and everyone can see it. Listen, if you want to find out more about History Worth Saving, just visit our website at historyworthsaving.com. You could subscribe to this podcast, of course, anywhere your podcasts can be subscribed to, or you can just do it on our website. That makes it really easy. We're also on Apple iTunes and all of that other fun stuff, iHeartRadio. Just about everywhere podcasts are served, we're there. I do appreciate you coming on here today with us and taking a listen. All new year, all new season starting. More great shows at historyworthsaving.com where you can subscribe to our newsletter and get it delivered to your inbox each and every month. Listen, I so appreciate you participating in this show. If you want to do us a favor, simply share this episode with someone you think might enjoy it. That helps us more than anything you could possibly do. As always, get out there and enjoy this great country of ours. There's a lot of great stories. If you see one that you think is worthy of history worth saving, please send it to me. Just about anything is worth history worth saving. Not too picky. Love all of the stories. In fact, like Mr. Brown, I want to collect them all. I want to put them all out there. So just send whatever you have. Love to talk to you and love to tell those stories. Until next time, I am Matt Jolly. This is History Worth Saving. And I so appreciate you listening. Get out there and know your neighbor. So long for now. Thank you.